Hello, and welcome to the Re-Re-Read podcast, where we learn craft techniques from dead white male writers. Seriously, it can be done. Today's topic is The Hound of the Baskervilles, more about character in the mystery genre. I suppose I've been hitting this topic pretty hard lately, but I continue to be amazed at the importance of characterization in Hound. Having never read a Sherlock Holmes story before, I expected it to be all about the intricacies of plot, not those of people. Yet, as I have talked about in previous episodes, the complex relationship between Watson and Holmes not only contributes to, but in some ways drives the process of detection. This issue is especially important to me, as I've been trying to write a literary mystery novel, off and on, for, well, let's make it an even 10 years. I want plot and character to be equally important, and indeed to be bound together inexorably. Reading Conan Doyle reminds me that this is not only possible, but perhaps even necessary for delving into the true nature of mystery. Before starting on my novel, it seemed to me that mystery writing was primarily about figuring out who did it and why. True enough, as far as that went, but in my mind, it didn't go very far. Perhaps A is in line to inherit B's money, but B has fallen in love with C and altered his will, making A the prime suspect when C is found floating in her nightgown in the lake. None of these characters is interesting. They are simple motives disguised as people whose sole purpose is to serve the plot. A is greedy or desperate, B is blinded by love, C is a victim, and D, the detective, comes in and puts the pieces together, perhaps with a surprising twist at the end, because D, whatever their personal quirks, does their job expertly. Now, Holmes is that quirky expert in Hound, but thus far it's Watson whom we see doing most of the investigating, and here he makes a mistake, not only because the plot requires him to do so, although it does, but because of who he is. After the conversation which I have quoted about Barrymore, Sir Henry put on his hat and prepared to go out. As a matter of course, I did the same. "What, are you coming, Watson?" he asked, looking at me in a curious way. "That depends on whether you are going on the moor," said I. "Yes, I am." "Well, you know what my instructions are. I am sorry to intrude, but you heard how earnestly Holmes insisted that I should not leave you, and especially that you should not go alone upon the moor." Sir Henry put his hand upon my shoulder with a pleasant smile. "My dear fellow," said he, "Holmes, with all his wisdom, did not foresee some things which have happened since I have been on the moor. You understand me? I am sure that you are the last man in the world who would wish to be a spoilsport. I must go out alone." It put me in a most awkward position. I was at a loss what to say or what to do, and before I had made up my mind, he picked up his cane and was gone. But when I came to think the matter over, my conscience reproached me bitterly for having, on any pretext, allowed him to go out of my sight. I imagined what my feelings would be if I had to return to you and to confess that some misfortune had occurred through my disregard for your instructions. I assure you, my cheeks flushed at the very thought. It might not even now be too late to overtake him, so I set off at once in the direction of Merripit House. I hurried along the road at the top of my speed without seeing anything of Sir Henry until I came to the point where the moor path branches off. There, fearing that perhaps I had come in the wrong direction after all, I mounted a hill from which I could command a view, the same hill which is cut into the dark quarry. Thence I saw him at once. Watson's mistake, disobeying Holmes's instructions to accompany Sir Henry everywhere, is plausible because it fits his character. From the beginning, we've seen that he's polite, a bit meek, especially in the presence of Holmes, and even a little insecure, a hazard of working with Holmes. Thus, he's easily put off by Sir Henry's entreaty not to be a spoilsport. But just as quickly, he feels terrible about letting Sir Henry get away and imagines having to confess his error to Holmes, reactions that are also consistent with Watson's character. To fix his mistake, he runs off after Sir Henry, gets lost, and finds himself in a position to witness a telling interaction between Sir Henry, Miss Stapleton, and her angrily gesticulating brother. So here's my point. A lesser writer, or at least one less concerned with character, could still have arranged for Watson to stumble upon this meeting. Watson could just decide to mosey off to a nearby hilltop of a morning, thinking Sir Henry asleep, and happen upon the rendezvous. But this plot point is brought about instead by Watson's distinctive and very human nature. He falters, and then, alarmed at his failure, rushes to amend it. Yes, overall, Watson's discovery still reflects the operations of chance, which, in the case of a novel, means the author's hand. Yet we don't feel the author's hand here so strongly, because he lets Watson, or Watson's humanity, lead to the discovery.